Hello, everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of Deep Cough in the Deep. I am Jeremy Lopez, and today I'm excited about talking to each one of you today listening to this broadcast. I know many of you have contacted us via email and let us know what the broadcast has meant to you and what the Ministry of Identity Network has meant to you, and those who actually have written in and said, you know, thank you for the prophetic word. You know, many of you have received from me that I do throughout the day. And so I want to say thank you so much for all your wonderful letters and emails and phone calls to the ministry. Today on the broadcast, I want to talk to you just for a little bit about hope. You know, one of the things I've seen throughout the earth, really the past couple of months, is those people who feel as if there's just nothing to look forward to in their life. And, you know, the Bible talks about faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And one of the things I'm beginning to see and recognize within people is so many people, they don't know how to really balance those out. We know that, you know, love basically trumps over anything, you know, of the enemy, and because love is what conquers, love is what God is, and so when we see the power of love, we recognize love is the most powerful tool in the universe that God has graced us with, to be able to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, everything that we are, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, to love nature, to love our animals, to love everything, you know, even down to the nitty gritty of, man, I just love, you know, that comforter, man, I love the color of that paint. I, you know, I love this house. I love this type of car. You know, even though we throw that word around so casually, when we're dealing with love, it's still something that still grips us, because we all like to be able to find people and things and really cling to them and really feel our heartstrings begin to pull on that and let us know and recognize and realize that, wow, I'm really just enthralled by, you know, this person's presence and what they do for me and what they bring to me, the smile on the face. And so, you know, we understand the power of love, do we not? But one thing I've recognized is love is a powerful tool, but the balance of these three have got to be able to at least bring some type of protocol into play in our lives, dealing with faith and hope. You know, because once again, love is the greatest of all these things, and love is very powerful. But without hope, you know, you truly can't love a person. Think about that. You know, the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish, which means that I need to learn to have a vision, not just for myself, but for the people, for my life, for the style of my life, for everything in my life that God has presented to me, you know, whether it's things or people or whatever, because of the fact that a vision is that of hope. When I see a vision, let me give you a great example. For some of my very best friends in the whole wide world and my family members and those I really love, I have a vision for. I have a vision for not just hanging out with them and what we're going to do, you know, Friday night, or what we're going to do Sunday morning, or what we're going to do Monday afternoon. You know, not just that type of expectation out of hope, but hope that brings forth that place of, you know, I have a vision to see your life fulfilled. I have a vision to see your life happy. I have a vision to see you finish school and get the job of your dreams. And I have a vision that I want to see you begin to have that family that you've prayed for so long. Well, hope also backs that up. And hope lets us know that I'm hoping so much that your life is happy. I'm hoping so much I can bring the joy to your life as a friend. I'm hoping that I can be able to, you know, hang out with you to where that way we can make memories together. See, that power of hope is something that we've got to remember that we desperately need. And so many people around us, they just tend to fall off the bandwagon of hope because they don't seem to have a vision. They don't hope for anything past, you know, themselves. And you can't really have hope for anything if you can't first of all have hope for yourself. And one of the things I've recognized in my life is, you know, I'm having hope and the bright future that God has promised me. You know, the Bible makes it very plain that He's come to give us hope and a bright future. You know, and then another verse in the New Testament, you know, says what He's come to give us life and life more abundantly. So hope is something that we desperately need. And if you don't have hope, guess what? Guess what happens? You become depressed. You become oppressed. You become suicidal. Because you've got to have a vision. If not, you perish. You've got to have hope to begin to believe that something in your life is about to change. Something's about to shift. Something is getting ready, you know, to come your way. Some new door in the spirit realm where the natural is about to open up for you. Some window of opportunity is going to begin to present itself to you that's going to cause you to walk right strength through it. You've got to begin to stir up that power of hope again and understand that, you know, if you don't allow yourself the flexibility to dream, if you don't allow yourself the flexibility to imagine, if you don't allow yourself the flexibility to begin to see yourself in an environment that is happy for you, that is fulfilling and satisfying for you, then you can't really feel that for anyone else. You know, I can tell you firsthand experience of people that I've known throughout my life, and very few and far between, you know, praise God for that, but those who were in my life at one point, you know, sporadically, who would always, you know, see things maybe I had or other people had, or see places that I'm traveling, whether I'm ministering or vacationing, or seeing maybe some kind of small thing or big thing that maybe I've purchased. And it's not just to me, it's other people I've seen that they have projected towards them as well in the area of, well, that, wow, that must be nice. I sure wish I could get that one day, and laugh it off, you know, as if it's a joke. Well, it's not a joke. It's something that their heart longs for because they don't know how to stir up that hope for themselves. To realize no one can give you hope, you've got to stir it up yourself. No one truly can make you happy. You know, when Paul told Timothy, dealing with spiritual giftings, Paul was an apostle, Timothy was a young pastor, and he began to tell him, he said, stir up the gifts of God that have been placed on the inside of you by the laying on of hands. I mean, Paul's telling Timothy this. He says, Timothy, come on, man. Stir up those gifts that God has placed on the inside of you. Fan that flame, so to say. And what he's saying is, you know, dude, only you can do it. You know, only you can begin to reach deep inside of that treasure in your earthen vessel and open up that treasure and let that hope flow out. Begin to, you know, stir up an expectation that life is changing, life is getting better, something new is happening, and to refresh yourself and maybe find yourself in laughter or reading the Word of God or find yourself reading books. Find something, anything that sparks a flame of fire in you to dream again. You know, a lot of hope comes through dreaming. Dreaming of maybe a better life. Maybe dreaming of a better lifestyle, the style of your life. Maybe dreaming of a better job. Maybe dreaming that one day you'll get married or have children, or, you know, or maybe you'll have that car that you've been praying for so long, as opposed to the one that barely runs. You know, you've got to begin to dream again. And one thing that I teach people is I teach them how to begin to activate themselves. You know, it's great that I can activate you in the prophetic, and it's great that I can lay hands on you and you recover, and it's great that I can lay hands on you, bring forth impartation. But the truth of the matter is, folks, there is no greater impartation than that you can initiate and engage yourself from the treasure that lies inside of you. And what I'm saying to you is this: sometimes we get too, you know, caught up in having those that we admire, those that maybe are in strong leadership abilities, those that might have a strong, as I call them, an alpha male mentality. You know, those who are just impacted with the Word of God and who travels and maybe is on television or does a radio broadcast like myself. And those type of people that carry this air, sort of say, this air of the presence of God upon them. And basically all that we're all doing is we're just doing our call. It's not the fact that there's a strong air of God's glory that you don't have. It's just the fact that we are just more in the scene realm. We're more on the stage and in the spotlight more than you are. And sometimes your mind can play games with you and tricks with you to perceive, for you to change your perception, to perceive that maybe something that I might have is stronger than you. Something that I have is more powerful than you because I'm this or I'm that, and you see yourself as not that. But the truth is, folks, we're all equal in the kingdom of God. How can the arm say to the hand, I have no need of you? How can, you know, if every joint supplies that you are a joint, and you as a joint should begin to reach deep inside of the rivers in your belly and make and force and allow those rivers to flow out of you and give permission to the treasure in you to open up and say, I'm going to birth forth some hope today. I know my life is getting better. I know there's an improvement coming down for me, you know, tomorrow. I know something's going to begin to happen. And yes, we can go into the truth of putting action behind your faith, because you have to step out. You know, hope is not something that is just leaves you at a standstill. And that's one of the miscommunications that we begin to present about hope. Hope is not something you just daydream about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hope is a key that unlocks a door. And that's one thing I want you to understand. Hope is something that you walk through. You don't carry the rest of your life as an end result. Do you get that? Hope is not something that is the result of something that is ending. Hope is something you walk through that leads you into the manifestation of that reality that you're hoping or dreaming for. So that means that if I find myself daydreaming all the time, which is great that you begin to start building up expectation and hope in you and finding the bright future that God has for you, that's wonderful. But hope is also something that you have to walk through to begin to really dive in and understand that, wait a minute, once I have hope for these great things happening in my life, whether it's from a prophetic word that God spoke to me or through me, or whether it is a dream that I had, or whether it is God just speaking through me to the pastor, or maybe me watching a television show and God just, you know, speaks to me about something I'm going to begin to spark, you know, in my life to begin to move into. No matter what it is, folks, the moment that hope begins to hit you, and the moment you begin to stir it up by your dreaming and imagining and pulling that with action, the moment that happens, folks, you have to put action behind it to walk through it. Because once again, hope is not an end result. And that's one thing that I want you to understand today. Hope is not an end result. Hope is something you treasure and you have every single day of your life in a different way, in a different realm every day. Which means that every day that I have hope, I need to activate that hope with action, to walk through it, to manifest that in which I'm hoping for, that in which I'm thinking about, that in which I'm believing for. And hope is always something you walk through. And then when you walk through it and you start seeing the beginning stages, the birthing stages of what it is you're believing God for, guess what? Then you shift your life back into hope. Because once again, hope is something you will constantly, like a pattern and a cycle, which I don't normally talk about patterns and cycles because those are destined to be broken. But when it deals with hope, folks, let me tell you something. When it deals with hope, find yourself in a pattern where you are constantly hoping back and forth, but you're hoping for something new and different and, you know, to make it tangible for you every day. Because once you walk through hope and you manifest the thing you're believing for by hope and by faith that moves the mountains to get you into that place that you're looking for, the moment that happens, you got to get back into that pattern of hope. Hoping now for something greater. Hoping now for something stronger. Hoping now for something to expand. You know, or maybe hope in some other areas of your life. But hope should be a consistent and a constant pattern in your life that you will constantly walking in and through and manifesting, getting back into hope, walking through by faith, and once again, manifestation. So you've got to have to realize faith is probably another broadcast we'll talk about, but faith is something that moves the mountains. Faith is calling something that doesn't exist and as though it does exist. Faith is when you move the mountains of doubt and fear and unbelief. But hope triggers that. Hope is the very thing that you look at to say, you know, I can't have faith without hope, because it's faith, hope, and love. They go together. And when you understand the three amigos of faith, hope, and love, you realize that there's a synergetic flow between all three of those, which means I can't have faith without hope, and I can't have hope without faith, and I truly can't, definitely, you know, don't want hope and faith if I don't have love for anything or anyone that I am believing for, wanting to see, or wanting to be with, or wanting to, you know, to pray for them. No matter what it is, if I have faith and hope for that person, much less myself, or anything in my life, if I don't have love as the foundation of that faith and hope, then I'm just a clanging cymbal. In other words, it's not going to mean anything to God, nor will it mean anything to you or that person. Because love is the key that heals and brings us to a place of wholeness. And so, once again, back to hope. So when you get hope, you got to put in that faith in there. And here's one thing I want to challenge each and every one of you as we sort of close today with a broadcast. I want every single one of you to have hope in people again. Have hope in yourself again. Have hope in your dreams again. And here's how you might say, well, Jeremy, how can I really stir up some hope? I mean, I find myself saying, well, I hope and pray this happens. I hope and pray this happens. See, that's just a cliche. That's just a vernacular terminology that you've made up. Because if you're truly moving in hope, then you're going to birth forth expectation. You see what I'm saying? And if you, and so therefore, you'll know the difference between just, oh, I hope and pray this happens, between just a terminology you're saying when you really don't mean it, as opposed to, man, I'm really moving in this hope here. I mean, I am hoping for this to happen in my life. Then you understand that moment you truly have hope, because hope starts opening that entrance and that door of some joy and some happiness and some little bit of motivation, a little bit of momentum, and a little bit of excitement, a little bit of laughter. It birthed forth just enough for you to jump in there and make it happen, to ride the waves out by faith until it happens in your life. And that's a key thing I want you to do. Now, once again, I'll close with this. Many people have asked me, how do I stir up hope, Jeremy? How do I stir up hope? Well, you know, if you listen to a lot of my broadcasts and if you read my books, my courses, I deal a lot with manifestation, thoughts becoming things, because there's so much power in that realm of thought, in that realm of moving in the mind of Christ, in that realm of birthing forth something that comes from a seed form that is called a thought. And it's full. All the Bible is full of these realities and these truths. And so when you see that, in fact, everything, no matter if you are, you know, whether it deals with salvation, whether it deals with healing, whether it deals with getting a new job, no matter what it is in your life, you first got to think it. You first got to believe it. You've got to have it. You've got to know that you need it, and needs and desires and wants, and you know, all those lead to fulfillment. Think about that. So if you're looking at a place where you're needing a vision, you're needing some hope, here's what you need to do. Like Paul told Timothy, stir it up inside of you. How do you stir up inside of you? Start dreaming. You know, I think sometimes we don't use the word daydream, you know, a lot in church, because we think, daydreaming is not really of God. Let me tell you something, folks. God did not give you a mind, a sound mind, that calculates and projects and creates visuals for nothing. I mean, you know, people in the body of Christ, they can't seem to fathom the fact that visuals in the brain is something that God has ordained. If not, we couldn't survive. We couldn't walk, we couldn't eat, we couldn't talk, because everything in your life, believe it or not, is the result of somewhere in your life you seeing a picture format in your mind of, oh man, I see that ice cream and that visual in my mind, and I taste it in my mouth, and all of a sudden I have to have some. You know, you think about that type of thing. Everything in life deals with a creative visual in your mind, a creative thought. And so when we're dealing with this, you have to understand, how do you stir up some hope and put faith behind it? Start dreaming again. Start dreaming again. See yourself doing the impossible. See yourself doing something you're not doing right now. See yourself with that person that you're praying and believing for. Now, once again, not you know, witchcraft type of prayers in the sense of, I want that person. God told me she would be my mate. No, start seeing yourself in a more generic way of being with that person and feeling what it's like to be in a relationship. You know, start getting that. You know, feelings are not bad, folks. God didn't birth forth our five senses to say, I'm going to give you five senses, but I'm going to demand that you don't live by them or go by them or even acknowledge them. That would be ridiculous. I mean, that's the most dumbest, you know, thing I could ever imagine, because of the fact it's like God saying, I'm an Indian giver, or God saying, I'm going to birth forth love, but you can't move into it. Well, that would be ridiculous, when our hearts long to be loved and want to give love. And so if you think about that from the realm of thought, you have to come to that place of realization where it's okay to dream. And it's okay to daydream. It's okay to visualize. It's okay to see yourself doing something that you've never done before, or you've always wanted to do, or with, you know, a spouse, or having children, or whatever it is in your life that you're wanting, having the home. You know, folks, there's nothing wrong with asking the Lord and visualizing and sort of having a thought of you driving a new car or moving into a house, no matter if it's small or big. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we've gotten so religious-minded that we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater when it deals with prosperity or anything in your life. Folks, God wants you happy. The truth of the matter is, God wants you happy. As long as you are pleasing the Father, and as long, in essence, of doing His will, doing the things that He wants you to do, you know, that's healthy for you. And here's the thing, we don't do things for God to make God, to appease God, as if He's an angry God or waiting to just get, you know, mad at someone. someone because waiting, you know, for you to slip up so he can just bash you over the head. God is a loving God, period. God's going to love you regardless. But the truth is, it's more that you don't hurt yourself. And so when we deal with the aspects of not wanting to sin, you know, moving his will, do these things, we don't do it to appease him. He's not some foreign God that we have to, you know, sacrifice food to appease him. No, it's for your sake, because God wants you healthy, and moving in the will for your life is a healthiness for you, because it births forth joy, and it probably does keep you healthy in the natural as well. Who knows? And so when you see all that, here's what you got to do. Start daydreaming. Start visualizing. Start seeing yourself doing what God wants you to do, and seeing yourself doing the things that you feel in your heart that you're called to do. And all of a sudden, you know what? You're going to start feeling nudgings. You'll start feeling, trust me when I say this to you folks, take it to the bank when I say this, you'll start feeling a nudging. What does that mean? A nudging of, hey, look, turn the television on, and look, bam, there's a commercial of something you just thought about. There's a TV show of something you were just imagining the other day. You know, because God literally will attract to you and pull and pushes every once in a while with you to get you to the place where you begin to be set up to walk through the door of the very nature, of the very thing in which you've been thinking and hoping and believing for. And that's what hope does for you. Hope pushes you and drives you into the fulfillment of manifestation by presenting the door to you to say, here's what you've been hoping for. You've been pushing it open by faith, and it's about to open up. You're about to walk through it. And that's, my friend, is the place of keeping yourself alive with joy, keeping yourself alive in hope, moving with such an expectation of something that you treasure, that you've never had, but you will one day, you will have it. And that's the key thing, is knowing one day you will have it. You will be it. You will begin to move in it. That's the thing I want you to begin to have today, is don't come to the place of, well, I hope so. No, that's not true. That's not true hope. Hope is stirred up energetic. It's energy. It's stirred up energy. Well, that's a great way to put it. Just act like you're stirring up some energy in you, okay? And you're sticking your finger in that light socket and begin to see it and begin to feel it and begin to manifest it by visualizing it. And all of a sudden you get, here's what's so great. Here's what is so powerful about science. And I promise we'll close with this. Here's what's so great about science. Is science lets us know that the very thing you're thinking about, your brain literally does not know if it's a thought or if it's a played out thought. It has no clue if it is reality that you're living in or it's something you're just thinking in your brain. And you know what's great about that? Is because that alone, from a scientific point of view, should teach you how powerful God's word is when it says, calling those things that be not as though they were. Because your brain thinks you're truly in it. The sad thing is, you don't see yourself as being in it. So sometimes you have to play the part, move in the part, and see it, and visualize it, and think it, and all of a sudden hope begins to be stirred up in you, and your brain is like, oh wow, man, look what I'm doing. I'm moving in it. And the natural aspects of you, guess what? You're not even moving it yet. You're not even there yet, but your brain thinks you're already there. Isn't that powerful? Imagine if you could line your entire being up with saying, you know what? I'm going to start acting like I'm already there, playing the role, carrying it out. That's what I'm going to do. And when you begin to do it, guess what? The word manipulation, folks, is not a bad word at all. Now, we use it in a negative term like, oh, she manipulated me, which is very bad. But when you deal with manipulation, you're also dealing with convincing something or shifting something into basically believing it of what you're trying to convince it. In other words, you're trying to convince something to shift and think a different way. And so when you're dealing with manipulating, you're dealing with manipulating the brain that says, oh man, look, I'm living it out. Wow, this must be a reality. And the natural is not. So you have to learn to manipulate your life to line up by faith to say, you know what? Don't act like you're not living in it. I'm going to tell you, you are living in it. And you manipulate your life enough that your life begins to believe it, that you're actually living in it. Isn't that awesome? That's what calling those things that be not as though they were means. And what happens is the doors of opportunity open up for you, and before long, you're actually tangibly moving in it and living in it. And that reality becomes like so much that you are bearing forth the fruit of that reality. And folks, that's what hope can do for you. And so today, I just want to just believe God right now that you are moving in hope and expectation and faith. Because you know what? You're in an hour right now where God is wanting and and waiting for you to walk through the door. But the only way to walk through that door is you got to have some hope and put some faith with it and say, you know what? It's time that I start dreaming again. Because you know what, folks? The truth is, it's time that you do start dreaming and having hope for your life again. Thank you so much for tuning into our broadcast today. And I really want to tell each and every one of you what a blessing you are to me. You know, I want to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas this season as we're in the month of December right now. And once again, folks, if there's anything we can do for you, you know, please do not hesitate to contact my staff here at identitynetwork.net. Our customer service rocks. They're top notch. They're the best in the field of this work, so to say, because of the fact they will talk with you, they will help you out with getting you product that you're looking for. So many people call the office and say, okay, I want to hear something on hope. I need to read something or hear something on faith or how to control my thoughts or how to think like Jeremy's talking about. And every one of them here at the ministry, they'll direct you to maybe one of my pieces of product or whether someone else's product that will get in your hands and will be able to help change your world. So once again, if you need anything, please don't hesitate to give us a call. Our office number is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. And if you're wanting to hear things that are alluding to this type of subject on the power of the mind, moving into hope, and learning how to manifest, folks, our number one course right now is called School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. Once again, School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. It's 100% biblically sound. You're going to love it. It'll change your life forever. God bless you and have an amazing day.